The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I have had a word on my heart for some time, and because most often if I'm going to share, if I'm going to preach or teach, it's because it's something the Lord's dropped into my heart, it's likely that I'm going to be a little emotional about it. So I just need you to know that that's how it's going to be. This is something really that the Lord's been speaking to me about probably since around January. And it was a time for me, I'm a purpose-driven person. When purpose-driven life came out, I was like, yes, let's make Christianity about purpose, because I love that. I love having a goal. I love having something that we're going after. I love purpose and destiny, and I believe that that's something that the Lord's put in me. So in January, it is probably my favorite time of year, because it's this whole idea of fresh purpose. It's this whole idea of we're going to set goals for what we're going to do for the year ahead. And that's been a good thing for us in our marriage and our family. When we sit down and look at the year ahead and we say, what do we want to accomplish in this next 12 months? If it's on our list, for the most part, we accomplish those things. And so we had a marriage group. We do a monthly, we call it Marriage First Fridays. We do a marriage group. And we led all of these couples in, you know, setting goals for the year. And I was all excited about that. We did it with our kids. We have targets on the wall with the goals that we have for the year. And you know, here's the things we want to accomplish. Of course, we prayed about it, right? We prayed and asked the Lord, what do you want us to accomplish? And yet, this January, it was like kind of lackluster. And we're setting all these goals, and it was feeling like, eh. And even the goals we put up there, I was like, yeah, I guess if we want to do that, that'd be cool. And I was like, Lord, what is wrong with me? Like, what is it? Why is this not satisfying to me? And so I'm just talking about it with the Lord. And here's the verse that we had used as our thing about goal setting. It's Philippians 3:14. And it's that piece that says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. I love this verse. It's about pressing in and And I said, you know, Lord, this is the thing. You know, we're meant to press into those things. But he said, the problem is that you think the prize is the goal. So when we listen to this verse, I press toward the goal for the prize in Christ Jesus. And so what was feeling empty to me was I had begun to make the prize the goal. They're different. If we think about around this time that I was contemplating this with the Lord, you know, the Olympics were going on. And you know, in a race, the prize is really nowhere near the goal. If an athlete was to actually run at the prize, they would miss the goal altogether. And so when we're looking at this verse, goal, the meaning of that is the end marker of a foot race, or the mark on which to fix one's eye. That's what goal meant in the Greek, in that Greek word, in that verse. The prize is completely different. The prize is the reward that's given to the one that wins the race. And so the Lord began to transform the way that I looked at this verse and the way that I looked at the fact that there really is a difference between the prize and the goal. You know, there's another place that Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that in a race, all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. And what he's talking about here is more about how we run than where we run to. It's more about how we run towards the goal than that we run towards the prize. And so this became something that the Lord was stirring in me, this sort of dissatisfaction with the fact that I had begun to think that it was about the prize. And, you know, we're going to, really, this isn't going to make any sense unless we look at what the difference is. But in this verse, we're looking at how we run, that word press means to aggressively chase. And so here's Paul saying, I aggressively chase the goal so that I can win the prize. He wants the prize. We want the prize that God wants to give us. The Bible is full of prizes that he wants to give us. But I know that to get the prize, I have to run towards the goal. In fact, if I try to get the prize without crossing the goal, like in the Olympics, that's called stealing, right? So we need to be able to run towards the goal in order to win the prize. In fact, if we steer towards the prize, we could miss the goal altogether. And that was what was stirring in me. The Lord was saying, you're going to miss the goal if you make it about the prize. Yeah. And he doesn't want that for us. And so, what's the goal? Apparently, that verse has a context, which is such a pesky thing for believers when we like to take out little snippets of scripture and put it on greeting cards or on posters or whatever, that there's a context to this. And so I'm going to read more fully what he's talking about. This is, in this place, he's talking about all the things that he's accomplished. And he's talking about the things he accomplished really before he knew Christ, before he had come into a saving knowledge of Christ. And he's saying, I count all of those as rubbish. I count all of those as lost. And so in my mind, I'm going, yeah, right. Anything before Christ is lost. Everything we accomplish after is amazing, is good. It's the prize. But he actually goes even further and he says, yet indeed I also count all things as loss compared to the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. In verse 9, he says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through Christ, the righteousness which is from God, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Then it says in verse 12, not that I've already attained it or I've already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I don't count myself of having apprehended it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I reach forward to those things that are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ. And so I'm looking at this and I'm saying, the goal, obviously, is to know Christ. We know this. That was what Paul's life was about. I choose to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. The goal of his life was to know Christ. Paul was not an underachiever. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He wasn't an underachiever really even before he knew Christ. He was really good at persecuting Christians. He was really good at knowing scripture, you know, the Old Testament. And yet, he's saying that I'm pressing towards the goal of knowing Christ. I count everything else as lost. And so for me, when I'm looking at this and I'm asking the Lord, this is this conversation I'm having as I'm reading this scripture with him sometime in mid-February. I'm going, great, so what's the goal then? And he says, to know Christ. And I go, and? If you're someone like me that is about accomplishing things and you're driven to like, well, what can we check off the list? What can we accomplish? What can we have to show for that? Yeah. So it's to know Christ. And then what? And so the Lord's shifting something in me. And I believe that he's shifting something in the body of Christ. I believe that it's not even that, it's not like we're aiming at the complete wrong thing. It's not that we're in some kind of rebellion and we're aiming at the wrong thing. It's almost like a little bit of a wheel alignment issue. That we can sometimes, when prizes are prevalent, we can begin to think that's the goal. And one of the things that he was showing me as it relates to some degree my own generation is that some of us grew up biologically in a season. Some of us grew up in the Lord in a season where the prizes were prevalent, where the prizes were there, where we were experiencing the presence of God, where we're seeing miracles happen, where we're seeing the results of faith. We're seeing God pouring out the kind of connection that we had with the Lord this morning in worship. That's a prize.
Yes,
and for me, I grew up in an atmosphere where the prizes were like everywhere. We've got prizes coming out of our ears. We've got favor. We've got revelation. We've got blessing. We have all these understandings. But what the Lord's began to show me is that somebody made knowing him their goal. And that's why we have those prizes. Those prizes came because this man and this woman and this man and this woman and lots of you here pursued knowing him before the prizes were prevalent. That people spent time on the floor before the Lord saying, "We want to know you. We want to know you in a way that transforms my life. We want to know you in a way that transforms the culture." A lot of us don't remember what it was like before we all got a prize when we walked in the door. And we're in a season where it's time for us to recognize that it's not about the prizes. It's about knowing him. And that there's more prizes that he wants to give us. But it comes from us actually making the goal our aim, making the goal our mission. I think a lot of times in our relationship with Christ, we start off that way. All I want is you, Jesus. I just want you, Jesus. And then because of that knowing and making that the goal, we start to see some of the prizes come into our life. And then we go, oh, that looks shiny. You know, we start to, and it's just, and it might even just be like 1 degree that we begin to kind of steer towards the prize. But how many of you know that if your car steering is off by 1 degree, like 3 miles down the road, you're in the lake? And that's what the Lord, I felt like, was warning me, like, I just want to align you a little bit. I don't want you to be in the ditch. I don't want you to miss what it is that I have for you. I don't want you to ultimately miss the prize because you didn't stay aligned with the goal. He wants to give us all those things. He wants to, and right now you're like, what are the prizes? We'll get to that. But he wants to give us all those things. You know, there's blessing and favor and miracles and presence and impact. He wants to give us all of those things. But it comes as a result of us knowing him. In fact, he really has already given us all those things. He's already arranged it. Like, you know, when you get the call and it says, a prize is being held in your name. All you have to do is attend. You know, it's not quite like that because it's really a prize. But it's like that in the sense that it is already held in your name. But the way that we bring it into our life is through making knowing him the goal. You know, the other piece, you know, we had worship this morning. God longs to be known. And do you know that that's really what worship is about? I sometimes kind of think worship is about me. Because I feel good, because I feel the prize of his presence, right? But worship is about me saying out loud what I know to be true about him. Worship is this expression of, I see who you are, I know who you are. That's why I believe that we're coming into a season where we are going to not be so much singing what's up on that wall, and we're going to be worshiping out of who I see you to be. That's why it's important when we say, well, just sing a new song. It's not a trendy church thing. That's a, who do you know him to be?
Good.
That's true worship. And until we can connect with that, until we can say, this is who I see you to be, and that worship comes out of that place, then do we really know him? Or do we know about him? Do we know what, give me a worship leader. Do we know what
Vanessa
says about him? And that helps us sometimes, again, these worship songs bring a prize to us, a revelation of who Jesus is. But that prize came from somebody knowing God intently, knowing who he is. But there's prizes that you can reap in your own life through knowing him. I believe the vernacular even that we use for worship is going to change. The way that we speak in worship, because if it's really out of how I know him and not just repeating what someone else is saying, it's going to be in my words.
Come on.
And, you know, there's even been words over this church about the sound of worship here, that there's going to be a new sound that's going to be released. I believe it's going to be released through intentionally aiming for the goal of knowing him and then speaking out what it is we're seeing as we know him. There are things that you are going to know about him that none of us see because you've cultivated that, and you're going to speak it out, and it becomes another way of just speaking the dynamic of who he is. Today we sang about Shekinah glory. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory is all about what happens, this glory that happens when we've been in his presence. It was what was shining on Moses' face when he was in the presence of the Lord. It's not something that comes from out there, and then it's something that we get as a prize from knowing him, from spending time with him. In fact, Moses spent time with him. He was face to face with God. His face was glowing. And then the longer he went without being with him, the more it faded. That works for us too. And it's not necessarily about knowing him in this corporate place. It's about this deep, individual, personal knowing. So when he talks about knowing, the word that's used here, I know I've mentioned before that Greek is so cool compared to English because it means all the things. There's like 10 English words for one Greek word. The word knowing there, when he says, I count it loss compared to knowing him, it means a knowledge that's gleaned from firsthand experience or gained by direct relationship. So we're not talking about, I count all that as loss compared to knowing what I know. He's talking about knowing him closely. Another place in the New Testament when Paul is talking about knowing Christ, the word that's used is actually the same word that Mary uses when she says, when the angel tells her she's pregnant and blah, 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 and she says, how could this be since I have never known a man? So you know what we're talking about? Okay. And so it's this deep, intimate knowing. This is what we're talking about. We're not talking about knowing about him. And because it's that intimate, it's not what happens in this room publicly. My dad spoke to this when he was talking about the secret place. My husband and I are one of those couples, the PDA couples, you know, that are always touching on each other and kissing each other. And in fact, I was not one of those couples when we first got married, and he would want to kiss me and whatever in public. And I would say, well, you're just putting on a show. You're just putting on a show for other people. I don't want you to do that. And he said, okay, do I kiss you like that at home? I go, yeah. And he goes, okay, I just want to be able to do it out in public what I do at home. And so that display of affection that you see is just the outward sign of the intimacy that we have when you're not watching. In fact, you are lucky. Don't bring it all out. right? So sorry, kids of mine. That it's really good. In fact, on the flip side of that, how sad would it be if the deepest intimacy that we experience is what we walk out in front of you?
So true.
That would be sad. And yet, sometimes that's how it works in our relationship with Christ. There is an intimacy that really is deeper than what you can experience or with him in front of other people. And one of the things that he's been checking me in is the most intimate encounters you have with me only in front of other people? Because then we have a problem. You know, I have no, you know, well, if you've been here, you know, I love to worship Jesus. I will weep and dance and make weird faces, and because I just love. When we were singing about his name today, it just undoes me. But you should see what it's like at home. That is an outward expression of what I experience with him in intimacy at home. It's crazy. You wouldn't want to see it. And that's how it's meant to be. Would know him in that close, intimate way. That knowing, like the knowing, like a man knows a woman, is the same knowing in John 10:14 when he says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as I know the Father and the Father knows me. This deep intimacy. We need to stay aligned with that goal. And, you know, what I talked about was he wants us to have the prizes, but we ought not chase the things that he wants to have following us. Signs and wonders follow those that believe. If I chase signs and wonders, I'm never going to really get them, in the sense that the goal is knowing him and they follow me. If we chase the prize, we completely miss the goal. You know, we see an example of this. I even hate using the scripture because, well, I don't hate the scripture. Matthew, didn't I prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform miracles? And Jesus' response is, but did I know you? Do I know you? And this is, I'm not making a statement about salvation, whether we lose salvation. We don't lose salvation. But we can, if we aim at the prize. Good. These are all good things. These are all good God things. If we aim at the prize, we can get to a place where we don't know him and he doesn't know us. I desperately want Jesus to know me. He wants to be known. He doesn't want to be studied. He doesn't want to be known about. He doesn't want to be used. He wants to be known. So, that's the goal. What are some of the prizes that we can sometimes chase after? And this isn't going to be for everybody. But these are things, again, these are things that are not bad. These are things that are promised to the church as the prize, but make terrible goals. The first one is salvation. You know, there's verses all over, and I'm talking about individual recognition, but even like recognition as a church. Sometimes I feel like, why doesn't the church get recognition for what they're doing? Why does the world always dog on the church when really we're doing a lot? The body of Christ is doing a lot of good stuff. There's verses in the Bible that talks about the recognition that we will receive individually and as the body of Christ. There's the, you know, we're the head and not the tail. That we're a city set on a hill, that they may see our good works and glorify the Father. And we should absolutely know that that's something we get to walk in. Is there a dead spot I should stop crossing, or?
No, there's nothing.
Okay. So, and I think we should absolutely celebrate people. I think we should absolutely honor accomplishments, honor the things that people do. I think every time we say, let's give a hand for the worship team, I think that's good. It's good to have that recognition. In fact, really, Jesus had more recognition than anyone, despite what Alexa says. He has more recognition than anyone throughout all of time. But he knew that that wasn't the goal. He didn't drive at that as his goal. That was a prize. If recognition was his goal, when they said, come and be our king, you're the king, be our king, he would have said, yep, yes I am. And he would have stepped into that place. But he didn't, because recognition wasn't the goal. And when he was asked, are you or are you not the king? He would have answered the question straight instead of saying, well, who do you say I am? Because recognition wasn't the goal. In fact, that question even tells us what the goal was. Do you know me? That was the goal. Who do you say I am? Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that he's king. But that's the prize of his life, not the goal. He healed people and told them not to tell anybody. If it was about recognition, he never would have done that. I never would have done that. And we can know if recognition is our goal when we see how we react when we don't get it. Or, this is even better, when somebody else gets something that we did. That's come up in my life a few times. And I can even say, no, it's not about recognition. I just want Jesus to be glorified. And I can mean that. But when I have those opportunities to either not see something recognized or see someone else get credit, that little thing comes up and I go, yep, that's still a little bit of a goal for me, that recognition. Recognition is a prize. You are going to be recognized for who you are as a son and as a daughter. The verse talks about all creation groans and waits for the revealing of the sons of God. That we're going to step into this glory. We're going to be recognized. But that's a prize, not a goal. Here's my least favorite. I wish this was the goal, but it's not. It's results. Wonderful prize, terrible goal. You know, it's interesting because the Bible has all kinds of, you know, like there's the that talks about multiplication, talks about increase, talks about stewardship. There's that story about Jesus cursing the tree that doesn't bear fruit. And so from that, I can go, yeah, like Jesus demands results. Like this is... That's going to support my whole belief that it's about results. And yet, what is true is that knowing him and being joined to him is what creates fruit. The fruit is a result of being plugged into the vine. The fruit is a result, not a goal. Jesus' ministry was with results. In fact, Luke says if everything he did was written, all the books of the world couldn't contain it. So lots and lots of results. But if results were the goal, there's so many things he wouldn't have done. If results were the goal, he wouldn't have preached the eat my flesh, drink my blood sermon. Like he lost everybody there. That was not a good result. Did he change what the message was? Results weren't there. No. I choose to do what I see the Father doing. Everything he did, regardless of the result, was this is what I'm doing out of the knowledge that I have of my Father and his plan. If he was about results, he probably wouldn't have allowed himself to be crucified. is a mess after that. All the people are, you know, betraying him, and that wasn't super successful. I wouldn't count that if that was my ministry. I don't know that I would count that as a great result in the moment. But ultimately, it was about knowing the will of his Father and walking that out. Faith, this is, again, a hard concept for me. Faith is not about results. Faith is about knowing who Jesus is. Faith is about knowing what he wants to do. Faith is about knowing what we have in him. But it's not about results. The whole, you know, if you speak to this mountain and tell it to be cast into the sea, one of my favorites, because I like big results. Do you know, like, really, it's not about whether or not the mountain actually moves. It's about if you speak to this mountain. It's about the faith that's required. It's about the knowing what he wants us to do. If my faith is affected by lack of results, then I know that results is really my goal. That's how I know. I need a little wheel alignment. Because I start to get discouraged when I don't see results. And it's easy for me to say, I have all kinds of faith, as long as I'm seeing results. Right? Like, as long as we're seeing those things happen. But what is true about him? What do I know about him apart from those results? You know, his relationship with you is not about results. His invitation to you is not about what results you're getting in your life. In this last few, I spent some time with the Lord. I don't know why, but I think because I like information. He'll often say, ask me this question. And I'll go, okay. And so the question he had me ask is, if I never did another thing for you, would it be enough? And so he had me ask that question over and over again so that he could put something deep inside of me that says, it's enough just to know you. It's enough. It's enough. It's enough. It's not about what results you can get for me. And then as I'm having this wonderful moment of just feeling his unconditional love and knowing that I don't have to ever do another thing. I don't ever want to serve anyone because I think I have to do it. I'm in trouble when that becomes my goal. You're in trouble if that becomes my goal. But then he has me, as I'm soaking in that, he says, how about me? If I never did another thing for you, would it be enough? And I just wept because I couldn't answer that question as easily as he could answer it for me. Because to some degree, my relationship with him demands results. To some degree, that can become my goal. And so basically I had to say, change my heart in that. It is enough. I said with my mouth, it's enough to know you. It's enough to know you. Paul is saying everything else is rubbish compared to knowing Christ. Make that true for me. It's enough to know you. I've always loved the story of Peter walking on the water. And by the way, he actually did walk on the water. Yeah. Right? So I think he got wet. Big deal. He walked on the water. Yeah. But part of the reason I think I liked it is because Peter had a result. Because it made me feel like I can have a result like that. I've always said, I want to walk on water. Whatever that looks like, metaphorically in real life, I want to walk on water. And again, the Lord was speaking to me about that. And he said, you will walk on water when your goal is being closer to me. Because what did Peter say? Lord, if that's you, tell me to come to you. He didn't say, Lord, I want to walk on water. He didn't say, you know, if that's you, to you. And we will walk on water as we make being closer to him our goal. Because that's where he is. He's on the other side of miracle. He's on the other side of all of those things. When I draw closer to him, those that becomes part of like, oh my gosh, look at, we're walking on water. But it can't be the goal. That's the prize. The goal, really, Peter, whatever the scripture about, I get that. Like, I'm not really sure that Jesus was actually mad at Peter. I think he was kind of teasing Peter, but I can't. That's a very not teachery thing to say. That's a very preachery thing to say. But I'm just saying. The end result of that was that he was in the arms of Jesus. Because even when he started to sink, it says Jesus caught him up. Immediately, Jesus caught him up in his arms. He was close to him. I don't mind getting wet if it means I get caught up in his arms. But it's not about the result. And it's not even about the recognition. Sometimes I read that verse and I go, Peter gets no credit for actually walking on water? No, because the story is about he was nearer to Jesus. He was caught up in his arms. We'll walk on water when that becomes our goal. Okay, I have lots more R words that are prizes. This is a thing I like to do. So we have recognition, we have results, we have resources, and I'm only going to talk briefly about this because I really don't think this is primarily our issue. But sometimes we can make our goal the resources of heaven. We make our goal that I should be able to have this prosperity, I should have this, I should have, because the Bible tells us that we can have that. But that's a prize. It's not a goal. That comes out of, you know, the whole seek ye first, and all these things will be added. I don't think we need to talk about that anymore. We're not going to. Okay, here's the other one. One of the things, when I've gone through prayer ministry before, ask the Lord, okay, what is it that I'm afraid of? What is it? What is the thing, you know, like, you know, when you're cleaning stuff that is problematic for you? Not being relevant is a fear that I've had. I desperately don't want to be irrelevant. Because I have a passion for purpose and destiny. And also, I desperately don't want the church to be irrelevant. But we have a serious problem when we begin to make relevance the goal. In fact, I think it's hurting the church at large, not necessarily here. Because we've begun to make that the goal, and so we do all kinds of gymnastics to try to make the church relevant to the world. And that becomes the thing that we aim at. And in that, we begin to miss who it is that Jesus really is. We begin to miss little pieces of him because we're trying to make the church relevant. Now, I don't believe that churches that are doing church differently are necessarily making relevance to goal and missing who Jesus is. In fact, I think that if a church is being relevant, if they're impacting their community, even if it doesn't look like it to us, they must know Christ. Because it is impossible for us to know him and not be relevant, not make him relevant. It's impossible. If I want to make sure that I step into the relevance and the impact and the influence that I'm meant to have in this earth, the best, shortest way to get that prize is to know him. There's a verse, 2 Corinthians I just love this. 2 Corinthians 2:14-ish. Let's see. Yeah. Verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. It is impossible to know Christ and not smell like him. It is impossible. I don't think you wear aftershave anymore, but my dad used to wear aftershave. Maybe you do. Maybe it's just different now. I don't know. But growing up, I used to love to wear his jacket because it smelled like his aftershave. And I walked around smelling like my dad. I loved that. You have this fragrance. It talks about the fragrance of the knowledge that we diffuse it in every place. We become relevant because it just oozes out of us. We bring Christ into those places. The church will smell so good if we stay in knowledge with him. Not knowledge of him, not what I know about him. This word knowledge, again, has to do with that close, personal knowledge, the pleasing aroma of Christ that comes out of that. I think sometimes we worry about missing. I do. Mostly this is about me. We worry about missing the call of God on our life, missing the things that we're supposed to do. You know, will we be obedient when he asks us? And, you know, so we look at verses like 1 John 3:4. We should actually read it probably. Yeah, we can do that. First John chapter 2. Nope. Let's try 2 John. Bummer. Okay, I'm just going to say roughly what it says. It says that anyone who knows Christ, again, deep personal knowledge, keeps his commandments. It's impossible to know Christ and not keep his commandments. So when I've read this verse in the past, I go, okay, goal is keeping his commandments, because then it means I know Christ. Nope, completely opposite. Goal in Christ, because then it is impossible for me not to keep his commandments. And so we need to recognize that what he's inviting us into is not all of these prizes that he wants us to go after. Even keeping his commandments, I've looked at that before. If I love, you know, obedience is his love language. So the way that I show my love him is I obey him. And so I focus and I make obedience my goal. No. If I know him, I will obey him. If I'm in deep personal knowledge with him, I will keep his commandments. If I know who he is, I will step into those things that he's laid out for me to do. My destiny is found in knowing him. My obedience is found in knowing him. That is a prize that comes. I'm going to be running for a long time in all kinds of circles if I make those things the goal instead of the goal of knowing him. In 5 minutes, the other one that we can make the goal is revelation. I love revelation. I love it because it comes with information. Sometimes it comes with, like, you know, this new revelation of scenes, and like, it's, we love revelation. It's this the revelation of something new about who he is. We can be addicted to it. You know, we have revelation all day long of all these things that are, you know, oh, look what's happening here. And we have all kinds of it. We can be addicted to it. It's new knowledge about God. That's how I view it. You know, show me again how, you know, how can we interpret the scripture, or which isn't all bad, but it is if it becomes the goal. That kind of revelation is really meant to be found through knowing him. And what's interesting is, again, I believe that this addiction that I've come to for revelation, that I'm overcoming, is because I have lived in an environment that is rich with revelation. I was born into it. We have so much revelation in this body specifically, but in general, the church. This has been an era of revelation. This has been a movement where God has revealed things. You know, remember the revelation that God is in a good mood? Wow. Remember the revelation that it's not about what I do? Remember the revelation that we already have healing, not something we have to make happen? Our own faith. Remember the revelation that when it talks about discipling nations, it means discipling entire nations, not discipling people in nations? It was a huge revelation to me. But again, what we need to realize, that revelation, those revelations have been shared by people who have the prize because their goal was knowing him. And they put it on and they wear it to church and they go, revelation! Look at what I saw when I was spending time knowing him. And we're kind of addicted to secondhand revelation. We're kind of addicted to, you just tell me. You just tell me what, oh, that is so awesome that he revealed that to you. And then sometimes we get the idea that he wants to only reveal things to those people. Or maybe I'm not willing to really pay the price for that revelation in making knowing him my goal. And so I've become addicted to revelation. Because people have made no goal and opened the door to revelation to me. But this is our time. Those of us that have grown up in that. And I don't necessarily just mean biologically grown up. I mean, we've grown up in that as a church, as a Christian. That there is revelation that he wants to pour out. But it, you know what? I don't think you're going to find it in here. I don't know if I really want to say that, but I kind of do. I don't think we're going to find it in here because his goal is knowing us, and his goal is us knowing him. And so he's inviting us into that place. He's inviting us into that depth. I have things I want to show you. Know me. Come and know me. And we're going, could I just listen to a podcast or buy a book? I am the queen of sermon podcasts. Do you know that sometimes I listen to podcasts instead of eating chocolate? And you know what that tells me? I'm addicted to it. I'm using it to fill something in me. Like maybe there's something good in here for me. And it's good stuff. But it's someone else's prize. He has prizes that he wants for you that come out of your personal knowing. Philippians 3:15, this is where our text, I have no idea if that's actually the right verse. I'm going to say it's 2 Corinthians. Hang on. Give me a second. Yeah, Philippians 3:15. Okay, so he says, not that I've already attained it. Attained what? Knowing Christ. Or I'm already perfected, but I press on, I aggressively chase, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me, which is knowing one another. Brethren, I don't count myself to apprehend it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, even those really good things, even those things that were enough before, even those prizes that we just had to have in that time, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward, I aggressively chase the goal of knowing him so that I can win the prize. All the R words I gave you, plus lots of not R words, I'm sure. The upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this even to you. He wants to reveal this to you personally. If you're listening to me going, nah, I'm pretty sure it's about the prize, that's okay. He will reveal this even to you. That's what I want to close with. I feel like this is something that God has, he's working in me. He's drawing me into, and can I just say, if Paul can say, not that I've apprehended it or achieved it, I'm not even touching it compared to what I'm talking about there. I'm not preaching this because this is something that I am like, you know, I've acquired this. This is something that I'm really not good at, that he is drawing me into. And he's making it so that nothing else is the goal for me except for knowing him. I don't know what that's going to look like walked out in my real life. I mean, this is my real life. I'm just saying. I don't know what that's going to look like as it relates to, I don't know how many of you know Brian and I, we have lots of goals. We're pursuing lots of things. And they really have come out of what we've known in God. But now he's kind of realigning us. Like, we've known these things, or we've had the prizes because of some of what we pursued in knowing him. And now we kind of maybe are a little focused on the prizes. My prayer is that he gives us revelation of what knowing him looks like for each of us. What is that deeper knowing? And can we have the confidence that if I stop pursuing the prize and pursue the goal, that in the end it'll be worth it? So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the prizes. You are a good God. You give good gifts. But it is nothing compared to what we have in knowing you. And so, even now, I repent that I have made the prize the goal. That I've been willing to settle for the prize of knowing you instead of the goal of knowing you. I pray that in the days to come that we would encounter you in our homes, in our cars. I just pray for grace. I just feel like Rochelle's word today. He is coming for you. He is coming for you. And it's not going to be hard. There is a grace. There is an anointing on the body stepping into this place of intimacy. If you have struggled with being able to really meet God in the secret place in the past, forget what is behind and know that he's releasing a fresh anointing. He is coming for you. He will not let us settle for the prize. And so, Lord, we thank you that as we step closer to you, as we step into knowing you more, that you are right there. You're not out of reach. You're going to meet us in that place. Would you reveal those places that our alignment's a little bit off? Would you reveal the places that we're steered toward recognition or results or revelation. We love you, Jesus. And we want our goal to be knowing you. In Jesus' name, amen.